Sicha of Parshas Truma is in Chelek Aleph, in the first volume of Lakut HaSichas. In the beginning of this week's Seder of Truma, the Torah mentions the word Truma three times. First it says, V'yikhu li Truma. Then it says, Hashi yidvenu libe tikhu es Trumasi. In the first pasuk it says, they should bring the Truma, the offering, to me, to God. In the second verse it says, everyone whose heart moves him to donate the offering. And then the third pasuk, V'zeis ha-truma she-tikhu me-itam, zohar v'chesef v'necheshes, etc. And this is the offering that you should take from the people. Gold, silver, brass, etc. 15 different things. The Gemara says that because the word truma is mentioned three times, we know that there are three donations, there are three trumas. One truma is which every Jew has to give half a shekel, from which the brass plates at the bottom of the beams of the planks of the walls of the Mishkan were placed into these copper or brass housings, foundations. So these adonim, the plates at the bottom of the walls, were made from the truma, from the offerings that everybody brought, a half a shekel. Number two, there was a truma that was given for the mizbeach, and here also each person gave half shekel in order to buy the sacrifices for the mizbeach, for the altar. And the third truma, the third donation, was the Mishkan itself, for the vessels of the Mishkan, for the upkeep of the Mishkan, and so on. Yet we find here a difference between these different donations, trumas. That the truma that was given for the mizbeach, for the sacrifices, and the truma that was given for the plates, for the brass plates at the bottom of the walls of the Mishkan, here each person gave a similar amount. Everybody gave a half shekel. But when it comes to the third truma, and that was for the vessels of the Mishkan and for the upkeep of the Mishkan, here everybody gave as much as they wanted. So we have to understand, why are they different? Now, it's obvious that concerning the Mizbeach, the donation given for buying the sacrifices, here everybody gives the same amount, is understandable, because the purpose of the sacrifices was to bring forgiveness. L'chaper al nafshi seichem, to bring forgiveness for sins. And primarily it was for the sin of the golden calf, as the Yerushalmi and the Medrash say. So since the sin was committed by the entire people, and it affected all the people, the entire people, even those who were not actively involved in the sin, as for example Shevet Levi, who did not participate in the sin, yet they were affected by it. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, who not only didn't participate in the sin, but he wasn't even there in the vicinity when it was committed, when the sin was committed, so he couldn't even have intervened and tried to stop others from sinning. And yet the sin affected him as well, as God says to Moshe, Lech Reid, go down from the mountain, and the Gemara says, go down from your greatness. Because the people sinned, it dragged Moshe down as well. So just as the sin of the golden calf affected the entire Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, therefore, in order that it be fixed, in order that it be rectified, it also has to come from the entire Jewish people. So it's a national thing, it's a collective thing, not an individual thing, and so everybody brings the same amount in order to buy the sacrifices that will bring the forgiveness for the sin. To understand this even better, it is known that the sin of the Egel is connected in some way to the sin of eating of the Eitz Hadas from the Tree of Knowledge. It's through the Tree of Knowledge that unholiness came into the world. And we're told that that unholiness lasted until the giving of the Torah, at which time the Zuhama, the unholiness, was lifted, and then it returned when they made the golden calf. So So we see that the unholiness of the golden calf is like a continuation or a repeat of the sin of the eating of the tree of knowledge. So if we understand better the unholiness of the chet eitz hadas, we'll understand better the sin of the calf, of the golden calf. In the beginning of the creation, when God created the world was perfect. Olam al miluyei nivra, the world was created beautiful, perfect. And ikir shchina b'tachteinim haisa. And at that time, at the beginning of creation, the shchina had its dira, its main dwelling place in the lower world. The world was a dwelling place for God. But then came the sin of the eating of the eitz hadas, and an unholiness came down into the world. And because of this unholiness, the world was no longer receptive to godliness. So, as is known, the mitzvahs that the patriarchs, that the Avos fulfilled, and the Torah that they studied, even though the commandments had not yet been given, those mitzvahs that they fulfilled did not permeate the physical object, did not make the world, the physical world, godly, because the world was not receptive, the earth, the physical condition, was not receptive and was not able to absorb and to retain the godliness that the mitzvah brought to it. The giving of the Torah changed that, because the unholiness was removed from the world, and the physical world became refined enough and receptive enough so that the mitzvah, the holiness of the mitzvah that is performed with the physical object remains in the physical object permanently. It becomes an object of holiness. Then with the sin of the golden calf, that unholiness was brought back, and once again the physical world became resistant to the godliness that was introduced to it. And although it didn't completely remove the ability of the world to absorb the mitzvah, and that's why since Matan Torah the mitzvahs that we fulfill do have an effect on the physical world, but to some degree the physical world is not absorbing, is not digesting, is not processing the godliness thoroughly enough to become permanently holy because of this unholiness that the golden calf introduced. And so to rectify that, we have the mitzvah of machtis ha-shekel, of the half shekel that every Jew has to give. And that's why concerning the machtis ha-shekel it says, ze yitnu. This is what each one should give. And where it says this, or ze, it means that God pointed to it and said, here it is, this is the thing, this is the half coin that every Jew should give. And that means, as the Gemara says, that everyone should be able to point with his finger and say, ze keli, this is my God and I will glorify him. That we should be able to point to God as something familiar, that you can point to with your finger and say, this is it. So with the Machtis HaShekel, it says ze, because the purpose of the Machtis HaShekel is to make godliness obvious, recognizable, so that we'd be able to point to it with our finger and say, this is it. And that is the correction, that's the tikkun, for the unholiness that the golden calf brought into the world, where the physical world can hear about God, can know about God, but can't yet point and say, this is it. And so it's understandable now that the carbon that was brought with the Machtis HaShekel, that was bought with the Machtis HaShekel, had to belong to the community because it was a sin that affected the entire community, and so the tikkun and the rectification of it also has to come from the community. With this we'll also understand some of the details of the Machtis HaShekel, of the half shekel. The money that was given, these half shekels that were given, became property of the community, became community property. It didn't belong to any individual, not even as a partnership with the individual. It completely left the ownership, left the domain of the individual, and became the domain of the community, community property. Number two, with this money, the carbon that belonged to the community was paid for, was bought. The Rambam says in his introduction to Mishnayos, he says that there are four kinds of carbon, four kinds of sacrifices. There is the carbon that belongs to the community, and there is the carbon that belongs to the individual. Then there is the carbon of the community that is similar to the carbon of the individual, and there is the carbon of the individual that is similar to the community carbon. The individual carbon consists of a carbon that has, I'm sorry, the community carbon consists of those carbones that had to be brought at a certain time, and they had to be offered up as a community. As, for example, the daily sacrifices or the musaf sacrifices on Yom Tov. The carbon yochid, the individual carbon, are those carbones that don't have any particular time, and they are brought by the individual on occasion, when something happens to the individual. So there is no time, no preset time for this carbon at all. Then there is a carbon that is really a community carbon, but it is similar to the individual carbon. And that is the carbon that is brought by the community, but it doesn't have a particular time. As, for example, Tar Helim Davar, if an entire community does a sin because they didn't know the halacha or something, they forgot the halacha, then the entire congregation, the entire community has to bring a carbon. But that doesn't have any set time. It is brought only if something happens, when it happens. So it has a similarity to the individual's carbon that is also brought on occasion. Then there's the individual carbon that is similar to the community carbon. And that is a carbon that belongs to the individual, but it does have a preset time. And that's, for example, carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach has to be brought by each individual, and yet it has to be brought at a preset time on Pesach. Now, the individual carbon, and also the individual carbon that is similar to the community carbon, could not be paid for by the machtis, by the money of the machtis hashekel. Even the community carbon that is similar to the individual carbon is not paid for by the machtis hashekel. Only that which is an actual community carbon could be taken from that fund. And the reason for these two commandments, for these two details, these two dinim, is that because the machtis hashekel is a community property, it therefore had to be used only for community carbon, and only a carbon that is literally community, not community and individual. With this, we'll understand why the donation, the truma, to the altar, to the mizbeach, was a half shekel for every person, because it was a community thing. But concerning the adonim, the plates that the Mishkan stood on, here we need an explanation. Why was that given as a half shekel, a fixed amount for all people? Another thing we have to understand: these adonim, the plates that were at the bottom of the planks of the Mishkan, the boards of the walls of the Mishkan, they are one of the parts, one of the kelim of the Mishkan. So why, in the first place, are they separated? Are they set apart from all the other details, all the other furniture of the Mishkan? As a separate charity, as a separate fund. Why aren't they included in the fund for the Mishkan in general? The Yerushalmi, the Gemara of the Yerushalmi, tells us that the three verses where the word Truma is mentioned, from which we derive that there are three different donations, each one of them refers to a particular donation. So that, for example, the pasuk that says, "V'zeis ha-truma asher tikchu mi'itam," this is the truma you should take from them, gold, silver, etc., 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 the 13 or 15 different things, that refers to the nidvas ha-mishkan, to the money that is used for the mishkan. The pasuk, "Tikchu es trumasi," that goes on the trumas ha-mizbeach, on the donation to the mizbeach. And the yikchu li truma, that goes on the truma for the adonim, for the plates. So we see from this that the pasuk in which the word li is mentioned, the yikchu li truma, that the truma is taken for God, directly for godliness, that refers to the donation of the plates. Not to the mizbeach, not to the altar, and not to the mishkan in general, but to the plates. Now, on a deeper level, the word li refers to all the trumas, and it even refers to all of Torah. Because as the Zohar says, that through doing mitzvahs, the yikhu li, you take not only to me, but you take me. Every mitzvah contains a little piece of God, and by doing the mitzvah, you're taking God. You're in touch with God. Eisi atem leikhin. But that's on a deeper level. On a simple meaning, the word li is related to the donation given that from which the adonim were made, the plates were made. The difference between the plates of the mishkan and the rest of the mishkan will be understood when we think about the mishkan in the human form. A human being is also a mishkan. And that's why it says, "V'shachanti b'seichom," build me a mishkan and I will live in them, in the people. Because the people are a living mishkan. So we see that in the human being, the boards that make up the wall of the mishkan had to be 10 cubits high. And that refers to the 10 powers of the neshama, the intelligence and the emotions. Then there are the curtains or the spreads over the mishkan that served as the roof. That they are the keiches makisim, they are the transcendent keiches of rotzin and tainug. The plates at the bottom of the boards, they represent humility. So the plates are lower than any particular kind of service of God, of love of God, fear of God, so on, which is the idea of bittul, the idea of humility, and the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. While on the other hand, on the one hand it's very low, but on the other hand, it is the entire foundation on which the mishkan rests. And as we say in the davening, the nafshi ka'ofer lakol tihiyah, that I should feel, my will should be as dust before all people, humility, and through that, the result will be psach libi b'seder secha over mitzvah secha tirdif nafshi, that my heart will be open to Torah and my soul will pursue mitzvahs. So we see that all of Torah and all of mitzvahs are basically based on the foundation of the humility, the nafshi ka'ofer lakol tihiyah. This is also the reason for the fact that the donation, the truma, given for the plates was done only the first year. It wasn't repeated the next years. Whereas the donation of the truma for the mizbeach and for the mishkan were repeated. The idea being that this bittul, this humility, being the foundation on which the entire Aveda is built, that has to come first, that has to be established right at the start, and then once it is established, then you go on to the construction of the rest of the building, the individual detailed services of Aveda for each person. And that's also why at the beginning of the day, We start with Meida Ani and Heidu Hashem, because Meida and Heida, these are expressions of humility, of acknowledgement, which comes from humility, and that has to be the foundation of each day. But then after that, we have to go on to the Psukei de Zimra and to the brachas before the Shema and the reading of the Shema, etc. With this, we'll understand the two details concerning the Adonim, the plates of the Mishkan, and how they're different from the rest of the Mishkan. In all the other parts of the Mishkan, which means the boards and the coverings, here every Jew is different, because the boards and the covering, they refer to the faculties of the person, the inner faculties and the transcendent faculties, the keches panimim and the keches makichim. Here, every person is different. Every person has to serve God according to his nature, according to the makeup, to the combinations of his keches and of his talents that his neshama carries. So no two people can be alike, because one person is stronger in certain midas, in certain emotion, av or yizah. Other person will be stronger in intelligence and in seichel. In seichel, there are differences between one person and another. One excels in chachma, one excels in bina, the other one in das. So each person is going to serve God differently and will be unique in his avodah. But when it comes to the bittul, when it comes to the humility and the kabbalah seil, here all people are equal. It's all the same, because it is not coming from your individual faculties, from your individual talents. On the contrary, you put aside the makeup and the properties of your neshama, and you serve God by transcending yourself and your abilities. So here, all people are equal because they have put aside that which makes them different. They've put aside their individualities, and therefore, it is a tzibur. It is a community, not an individual. How do we reach to the essence of God, to the core, which is the li, that through our mitzvahs we should be able to come in contact with God himself? See, here we are told that it happens only through this humility, through the bittul, because le ba'esh Hashem, God is not in the fire, le ba'rash Hashem, God is not in the thunder, le b'ruach Hashem, God is not in the wind, in the storm. Rather, it is the still small voice. In the humility. That's where we find the essence of God. Now, although the foundation of all service of God is this bittul, the humility, but as we said before, it is only the foundation. It is only the beginning. The complete avodah is that when a person can devote himself to the mitzvah with all his faculties, with all his kaiches, with the seichel and with the midah, with his intelligence and his emotions. And that's why the Machzis HaShekel has the law, the details, that when you're giving the Machzis HaShekel for the sacrifice, the rich man who brings a poor man's offering has not fulfilled his obligation. Because even in sacrifices, every person has to bring according to his maximum of his ability, because he has to give to God, he has to put into the mitzvah all of his intelligence and all of his emotions to the maximum of his ability. So if a rich man brings a poor man's sacrifice, which means that he doesn't give himself completely his seichel and his middeis, then he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. On the other hand, if a poor man brings a rich man's offering, he does fulfill his obligation. And in fact, Tovei Olav Bracha. The Gemara says it should bring him a blessing. More power to him. And in the spiritual, this means that a person who is an Oni, a person who is poor, and that means poor in knowledge, he hasn't learned Torah, he doesn't understand Torah, he hasn't learned even the revealed part of Torah, and is not really familiar even in the practical application, the practical fulfillment of mitzvahs, so that he can do mitzvahs properly, even from such a person, it is expected that he study chassidus, the pnimius of Teza, which is really a rich man's offering. Because it used to be that pnimius HaTeza was studied only by someone who was already rich in all the other areas of Teza, and only then was he allowed to engage in the study of Kabbalah or pnimius HaTeza. But now, we are told that even a poor man who brings a rich man's sacrifice is tovei olav bracha if he starts by learning chassidus. He will become rich, because aser, make yourself rich, b'shvil shetis asher, so that you will actually become rich. So when a person starts to learn chassidus, and he starts to delve into the pnimius of Teza, it will bring him a bracha, it will bring him blessings, that he will actually become rich, b'zuchnius, and then that translates also into gashmius, that he becomes blessed, and he becomes rich in children, and in health, and in wealth.